Story 3. My first big lie. The year was 1962, and the school was Aldershot Elementary in Kings County, Nova Scotia. Now, I know every old guy loves to say they walk miles to school, uphill both ways, no less. But we really did walk about 2 miles every school day, through fall, winter, and spring. And for me, things didn't start well. Within days, they put me in a special class for slow learners, along with speech lessons. I was slow, no question about that, but I was also curious. I was fascinated by the pictures and letters on the walls, the smell of the chalkboard, and all the crayons you could ever want. I loved coloring pictures. And then there was Mrs. Palmiter. Mrs. Palmiter was like a goddess to me. She brought treats, always smiled, and treated me with such kindness. I wasn't used to that, except from my mom. She made me feel like maybe I wasn't as stupid as I feared. Mrs. Palmiter likely knew we were poor because she brought me muffins every day. I remember she would pay for my morning milk, which was a rule back then. And cod liver oil capsules, my God, they were gross. Never bite the capsule. It was like eating fish guts. My first friend at Aldershot was Roy Hill. I met him in the schoolyard on the swings. He was swinging as high as he could when he suddenly jumped off, landing straight on me and knocking me flat. I didn't cry. Instead, I got creative. I told Roy I was going to tell the teacher what he did unless he gave me 10 cents. And wouldn't you know it, he gave me that dime. With the dime in hand, I marched straight to the Black Cat store across the street and bought myself some toffees. That was the moment it clicked. A good made-up story could get me what I wanted. You'll see throughout the book how my stories got me into trouble, but more often saved my skinny ass. This little lie let the proverbial cat out of the bag, so to speak, and it didn't stop there. Even though I blackmailed Roy, we became good friends. Roy was tall and skinny, and I was short and chubby, kind of like Abbott and Costello. As I struggled with schoolwork, falling further behind, I leaned into my imagination. I became a master at spinning tales, weaving excuses for bad grades and unfinished homework. I wasn't just lying to get out of trouble. I was lying to survive, to protect myself from the truth that haunted me. My brain never shuts down. It was always racing, always creating stories before I even knew what they were. My imagination became both a shield and a mask. I thought I was stupid, and as that belief took root, I worked harder to hide it. I told myself that if I couldn't succeed in school, I could at least win friends, earn approval, or get some candy out of it. But impulsiveness wasn't the only factor. By the time I was in school, I already felt like I wasn't measuring up. Being put in a special class and speech lessons reinforced the idea that I was different, slower than the other kids. Lying became my shield. It was a way to avoid embarrassment and hide the truth that I couldn't always keep up. Then there was my imagination, which was a double-edged sword. The same creativity that turned my wooden board into spaceships and boats was the driving force behind my lies. I didn't just make up excuses. I spun entire stories. My brain would come up with these elaborate narratives almost faster than I could speak them. And sometimes, those stories worked. That dime I got from Roy wasn't just candy money. It was validation. It taught me that my imagination could solve problems and even get me things I wanted. That little reward, insignificant as it seemed, planted the seeds for a habit that would grow for years. For years, I used lies to shield myself from the truth I was too afraid to face. I didn't realize then that my brain worked differently, that my constant storytelling and impulsiveness weren't flaws, but traits of ADHD. If someone had understood that, things might have been different. What could have helped me? First, creating a safe space for honesty. If I hadn't been so afraid of being punished or judged, I might not have felt the need to lie. For kids like me, a safe space where mistakes are okay can make all the difference. Imagine if, instead of lying about bad schoolwork, it felt comfortable saying, "I forgot because I was daydreaming." Another thing that could have helped was to celebrate my imagination. My creativity wasn't the problem. It was how I used it. If a teacher had said, "You're great at telling stories. Why don't you write them down?" it might have turned my creativity into something positive. I also needed practical tools. I didn't just forget homework. I forgot what the homework was. Kids with special powers like mine need visual aids and simple reminders. A sticky note on my desk or a checklist could have saved me a lot of trouble. And finally, I needed help building self-esteem. I lied because I felt stupid, and I felt stupid because I couldn't keep up. A kind word, like the ones Mrs. Palmiter gave me, went a long way. But consistent encouragement, especially for things I was good at, might have helped me see that being different wasn't a bad thing. Looking back, I see how my lies weren't just about avoiding trouble. They were a way to navigate a world that didn't understand me. It took me decades to realize that the truth, as scary as it seemed, was the only thing that could truly set me free. For parents and teachers, the key isn't just to correct the lies, but to understand where they come from. Kids with special powers don't lie to be bad, they lie because they're scared, impulsive, or overwhelmed. Helping them find the tools to manage their challenges and celebrate their strengths can change everything. And in the end, the greatest gift we can give is the freedom to tell the truth, not just to the world, but to themselves. Well, my days in the schoolyard were a joy, even if I was treated like a special needs kid. That's just how it was back then. Still, I found ways to get by. But there was something else growing inside me, a curiosity about things I couldn't see, things that didn't have easy answers. It's funny how lies and imagination often dance together, isn't it? That curiosity would lead me into my next story, one that takes us to a place far different than a schoolyard. It's about good and evil, God and the devil, and the strange questions that began to haunt me as I got older. By the way, when I refer to my special powers, of course I'm talking about my ADHD. I just don't like the acronym. It conjures up visions of mental issues, rather than a gift that, once discovered, can be a special power. Out of the box, I looked up and knew something was wrong. A huge forest fire was surrounding our school. That morning in the gym, we watched a film featuring Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires. I knew the best thing to do was get everybody out and find a fire truck to help put out the fire. I led Mrs. Palmiter and my friends out the door, then rushed back to find a fire hose. The flames were getting closer and closer, but I stood my ground. Suddenly, I remembered the big magic water button on my desk. I pushed it, and instantly a massive wall of water washed around the school, putting out the fire. Everyone cheered my name, and there he was, Smokey the Bear, giving me, Chris Craig, a big thumbs up. Summary. This story explores the damaging pattern I created early on, lying not just to others, but to myself. What began as small fibs to avoid trouble or impress others grew into a habit of covering mistakes and making excuses. This cycle led to missed opportunities, strained relationships, and a sense of failure. My lack of education and feelings of poverty deepened this spiral. Rather than confronting challenges, I masked them with stories, convincing myself things weren't as bad or were someone else's fault. This approach cost me jobs, distanced me from family, and reinforced my self-disappointment. Ultimately, this chapter reflects how lies created unhappiness and disconnection from my true self. It's a raw acknowledgement of self-sabotage, but also a step toward breaking free and finding authenticity, fulfillment, and peace. Learning with Mark Twain. Mark Twain's life reminds us of the incredible power of storytelling and the importance of embracing one's imagination. As a boy, Twain often bent the truth, much like you did with Ilroy and the Don. These small fibs weren't about deception, but about creativity, resourcefulness, and navigating the challenges of childhood. Twain's knack for spinning tales became his legacy, showing that what starts as impulsive creativity in youth can grow into something extraordinary. For readers with ADHD or those who struggle with self-esteem, Twain's life is an inspiration. His stories were born from a curious mind and a willingness to look at the world differently, turning even the simplest observations into memorable narratives. Much like your journey from fibs to self-discovery, Twain's ability to transform imagination into art teaches us that our unique traits, even those society may misunderstand, can become our greatest strengths. Dive into Twain's works or read about his life to see how he embraced his creativity, overcame challenges, and left an indelible mark on the world. His story is proof that imagination, when paired with self-acceptance and perseverance, can create magic.